puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Well, it's time this morning to go to the heart of Winnipeg, a place that you will probably have passed many a time, but lots and lots of history behind it. So we're here to find out more. Gordon Goldsborough joins us now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
So remind us of the clue.
Well, you know, Winnipeg's Exchange District is a real gem here in Winnipeg, and I think not enough people know about how it survived, you know, how it had been protected, and in fact, well, sometimes not protected. And we're going to talk about a couple of, you know, recent changes that have happened in the Exchange District.
Okay, when we talk about the Exchange District, is there a definition? Is there something concrete that we kind of decide it by, judge it by?
Yeah, it actually has formal boundaries, actually. It straddles Main Street in downtown Winnipeg. It goes from Waterfront Drive, basically the Red River, back to Princess Street. And then it starts at sort of Notre Dame and Lombard on the south side, all the way up to James and William on the north. It's actually kind of convoluted, and they actually cut out areas that are not considered part of it. But in that roughly 20-block area, you've got over 100 buildings that were constructed over a 33-year period from 1880 to 1913, and it's absolutely a treasure.
And let's talk about the name. What was the reason for that?
From the founding of Manitoba in 1870, you know, through to the early 20th century, Winnipeg was really the main urban center of Western Canada. You know, and as such, it was the logical place for the agricultural boom to be supported. The farmers, as they were spreading out across the prairies, they wanted to sell their goods, their produce. They also, of course, needed machinery to help them do their farming. And so inevitably, a lot of that would be centered on Winnipeg. So in 1887, a group of Winnipeg businessmen formed what was called the Winnipeg Grain and Produce Exchange. The idea of the exchange was to help in the marketing of prairie grain. It was later renamed. It became the Winnipeg Grain Exchange in the early 20th century. It was later the Winnipeg Commodity Exchange in 1972. And so as a result, because this whole area was sort of considered the heart of the grain trade, they called it the Grain Exchange District, or just short, the Exchange District.
So everything within this area was related to the grain industry?
Well, no, the Exchange District was not merely the center of the grain industry. It was the center of everything. It was the center of banking and the financial services industry, wholesaling. There was warehouses all over the place that were sending out supplies of all sorts of things across the prairies, the center of manufacturing, the center of publishing, the center of entertainment. You know, in a real sense, the Exchange District was the business and cultural center of Western Canada. Unfortunately, the Exchange District fell on hard times, and you know, and many of the buildings in that area were neglected. And yet, as I say, here we are over 100 years after that exchange was established, and it's now widely hailed as an absolute architectural treasure.
So how did it manage to survive then?
Well, it would be nice to say that the buildings in the Exchange District survived as a result of an enlightened attitude by Winnipeggers, but unfortunately, this is not the case. You know, Winnipeg was once the largest city on the prairies, but through the 20th century, it began to fall on hard times. One of the contributing factors, for example, was the opening of the Panama Canal, you know, and that allowed ships to go right from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And as a result, they didn't need to send trains load of goods across Canada to go from Nova Scotia to British Columbia. They could instead take the ships from there directly. But it was also this the proliferation of other population centers across the West. You know, so originally you have Winnipeg as the main city. Well, eventually you have Regina and Saskatoon and Calgary and Edmonton and a lot of other centers. So it wasn't necessary that there would be one center. In fact, investment and business opportunities were flourishing all over the prairies. So the net result was that the owners of the buildings in the Exchange District just didn't have the resources, they didn't have the incentive, and as a result, the buildings languished. And in fact, they didn't even have an incentive to demolish the buildings.
Why wouldn't they have an incentive?
Well, you know, as recently as the early 1970s, there was a widespread public perception that old is bad, new is good.
They clearly never met a Gordon Goldsborough in the time, did they?
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's like, I'd like to think that attitude is changing today. But, you know, at that time, you know, if you were an owner of one of these old buildings and you wanted to simply to upgrade it, you know, to bring it up to modern standards, you wanted to restore it and continue to use it, well, banks weren't sympathetic because they felt, again, that, you know, tear it down, build a new building instead. That would be better. You know, the high cost of demolition, well, particularly in the Exchange District, the buildings are close together. So if you start planning planning to tear a building down, that's going to be really expensive. You know, so on one hand, you can't borrow the money to make the building more useful. You can't tear it down because you can't afford to. So by and large, the result was the buildings of the Exchange District just sat there, little used, little appreciated. You know, so it was just sort of neglect more than anything else that we still have these buildings with us today.
Bright side, at least they weren't demolished.
Well, yeah, to a large extent that was true, but, you know, unfortunately, demolitions did occur in especially the more visible parts of the downtown core. For example, we have a building at the corner of Main and Lombard called the Lombard Building. It was also the home to Manitoba Pool Elevators, that had grain elevators all over Manitoba. It was torn down in 1966, and that site is now occupied by the Richardson Building. That's okay. I mean, at least there's another building on the site. But we have across the street on Main Street, the McIntyre Block, a huge building. And it was torn down in 1979, and now it's a parking lot. You know, so unfortunately, that's not really providing, you know, equivalent services. Perhaps the most conspicuous example of downtown demolition, you know, in the name of what we might call, quote unquote, urban renewal, was the wholesale clearance of a large area to build, well, for example, the Winnipeg City Hall, the Public Safety Building, the Parkade. That was all built in 1965, the Centennial Concert Hall in 1967, the Manitoba Theatre Centre in 1970, the Manitoba Museum in 1973. You know, today, the boundaries of the Exchange District, as I said, conspicuously omit parts of it that are occupied by, you know, these buildings. The funny thing is, of course, that these buildings that were all coming up in the 60s and 70s in response to sort of urban renewal are now themselves considered heritage buildings because they're now old enough to fulfill that criterion.
So there seemed to be like this wave of demolitions between the 60s and the 70s. Mm. Did that continue or what happened after that?
Well, it seems that things kind of came to a head in the early 1970s. And what really seems to have precipitated it was the proposed demolition of several very prominent buildings that were facing onto Main Street in what was sometimes called Banker's Row. Basically, there were a series of very large, very grand bank buildings. And one of the most beautiful, I think, was the Canadian Bank of Commerce building located at 389 Main Street. The bank moved out of that building in 1969. It moved actually into the Richardson Building, and the building was then threatened with demolition. And this seems to have galvanized Winnipeggers. The fact that this magnificent building that was still in good condition was being proposed for demolition simply because of the thinking that it was just wasn't suitable anymore. We'd build a new building instead. And this seems to have galvanized people's opposition to the whole idea of demolition in this area.
Was there an impact of that, you know, that energy and anger around the demolition?
You know, there was. Yeah. Yeah, actually, the Winnipeg City Council passed the city's very first heritage bylaw in 1977. And the whole idea of it was to protect old buildings like the Bank of Commerce. And in fact, one of the buildings to be protected was the Bank of Commerce. And it's today's Millennium Centre. You know, it's used for public functions. It's a magnificent building. You know, in fact, the first eight buildings that were designated under this new bylaw law in the 1970s were all in the Exchange District. In 1978, heritage advocates banded together. They established a group called Heritage Winnipeg. And the idea of this group was to serve as an ongoing forum for public advocacy in the name of old buildings.
I'm assuming that all these developments then benefited the Exchange District. Was that the case?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there at least wasn't the same attitude about demolishing buildings and replacing them. So starting, for example, in the 1990s, we see some pretty enlightened repurposing of old buildings in the Exchange District. You know, for example, one of the ones I like to point to is that in 1992, Red River College constructed a new building right in the heart of the Exchange District, but they did it in a very good way. They basically retained the facades of the buildings that were being demolished so that if you drive down the street, the streetscape, the view that you have is completely unchanged. Do you think that there's still old buildings there when in fact it's a new building inside? So, you know, we're not saying you need to keep all the buildings exactly, as long as you preserve something of their presence. In 1997, the Exchange District was declared a National Historic Site. And as far as I know, that makes it the first neighborhood to be designated as nationally significant. And so today, you know, we see widespread renovation of warehouses into things like apartments. So now, as compared to the past, you know, it used to be that the Exchange District was seen as kind of empty and dangerous at night. Well, now it's bustling and it's relatively safe at night. You know, it's really a thriving neighborhood compared to the past.
Even in the past 5-10 years, I feel there's been such a resurgence, which is so nice to see, right?
Absolutely.
So then, can we say that demolition has ended in the Exchange District?
Well, no, there's still cases where it's occurring. So not long ago, just a few months ago, the Reliable Service Station, one of the very first service stations in Manitoba, built in 1925, it was torn down so as to enable an addition to be made to the neighboring building. And of course, some people may know that the Public Safety Building and the associated parkade is just starting to be demolished now. So, you know, in theory, demolition is still continuing, but I'm hopeful that it's at least a little more informed.
I want to go back to the clue that you gave at the beginning of this conversation. Your hint said that you would talk about some buildings that had undergone recent change. What exactly did you mean?
Right. Well, we have good news and we have bad news. Which do you want to start with?
Let's start with bad news and we'll end on good news.
Sure.
Right? Okay.
Okay. So the bad news is that there is a building in the Exchange District called the Scott Memorial Orange Hall. It's located at 216 Princess Street. It was built in 1902 as the home for something called the Loyal Orange Lodge. And basically what that was, it was a Protestant fraternal organization. You know, I mean, a lot of people at that time in the early 20th century belonged to these organizations. They were basically intended for a mutual aid of their members. They helped their members. And this particular one was focused on Protestants. Unfortunately, although it was designated in 2007 as a significant building by the city of Winnipeg, and a developer was planning to convert the interior into apartments, while the construction work was going on inside, a major structural failure occurred in its foundation. And this has caused significant shifting of the building, especially on the north side. So if you look at the north side from the outside, you see these very large cracks running right from the top of the building all the way to the bottom. They're on the north side, they're on the west side. You know, and if you know where to look, there's other places as well. And, you know, I'm not a structural engineer, but I look at that and I fear that the cost of trying to repair that, because it's a foundation issue, is going to be enormous. And so I suspect that demolition is going to be the only feasible option. And, you know, it's too bad because here you have a historically significant building. It's been designated as such. You know, it should be preserved. They were trying to preserve it. And unfortunately, this incident happened and it's probably going to have to come down.
All right. You promised me some good news as well.
Back 4 years ago, almost exactly, we talked about a building on Notre Dame. Now, it's actually technically not in the Exchange District. It's actually on the other side of the street. Well, I think that's pretty close. So 422 Notre Dame, there's something called the Manitoba College of Pharmacy building. It was built in 1899 to provide a facility for the education of pharmacists. You know, so anybody who wanted to start a drugstore had to be a recognized pharmacist and you had to get training. And it served as that until 1934. So basically it was the foundation of the pharmacy industry in Manitoba. It has since hosted a business that sold brooms and brushes, but by 2016 it was sitting empty, and in fact all the trees out front were cut down, and I thought, uh-oh, that's a bad sign. That's usually the precursor to demolition. But in fact, I was wrong. Fortunately, it was purchased by a person who completely renovated the mechanical systems, the electrical systems, the plumbing systems, bringing it up to modern standards. I had a tour of it in mid-December, and it's basically a modern building inside. The external facade is original, and it's going to have a new life. I'm so impressed that they took a building that I thought was likely gone, and it's not going to have a new life.
So those are words that I never thought I'd hear on abandoned Manitoba. It's going to have a new life.
Absolutely. It doesn't
Perfect.
Happen often, but it's nice to see when it does.
What do you think is the future for the Exchange District?
Well, there's still a lot of unresolved questions. You know, so for example, what'll replace the Public Safety Building in Parkade after the demolition is completed? You know, hopefully it'll be something that is sympathetic to the surrounding buildings. So that's one consideration. What's going to happen to the Bank of Montreal building right at Portage and Main? You know, this grand building. I mean, it's one of the defining elements of Portage and Main. The bank has announced it's moving out. I really hope that isn't the precursor to demolition, you know, because obviously that land would be valuable. You could put up a big modern high-rise there and that would be pretty valuable. I hope that doesn't happen. And then I guess the third thing is, you know, will the city council respond to calls to reduce the cost of public parking in the Exchange District so as to encourage more people to park there? Because ultimately that's what counts. You know, if people are in the surrounding suburbs and they don't come down and use the Exchange District, well, you know, it's never going to reach its full potential. So parking is is a big facet of it. And I hope, you know, they might consider a reduction in parking fees.
It definitely is a gem in our city. So I think there are lots of people who are hoping that the Exchange District continues to live on. Gordon, thank you so much for this.
You're welcome.
The clue for next week, please.
Well, we're going to do something that we've done only once before in this series. We're going to talk about a historic site outside of Manitoba. So it'll have to be abandoned. Well, we'll talk about that
next
week.
You figure out. You're good at coming up with titles.
But it is connected to an exciting new project that will launch here in Winnipeg on the 6th of March. So a bit of a surprise for next week.
I like it. Gordon, thank you so much.
See you then.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.